Amen. Thank you, Dr. Fielder and daughter Emily. What a beautiful special number. The best thing we can do if we ever wonder whether or not God loves us or not is to think about Calvary and Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for our sins. It's the greatest love letter ever written to mankind. And by the way, I want to make this statement. God does not love you because of who you are. He doesn't love me because of who I am. He loves us in spite of who we are. And ladies and gentlemen, that is something called God's grace. And we have nothing good about ourselves to claim, only the grace of God. Well, take your Bible with me now this morning. Turn to Psalm 86, please. Psalm 86 this morning. The message and song given a moment ago, love written in red. That message is a message of reassurance. It assures us that God loves us. Sometimes we just need to hear that. Theologically, we know it's true because the Bible says it, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. We know that verse. But once in a while, we need a reminder of that. It's good in life to have a reassurance of something sometimes. So, for example, gentlemen, if you're married or you have a significant other in your life, it would be a good idea once in a while to simply say the words to her, I love you. Years and years ago, I met a guy. I hate even to say guy. He was just a doof. He was just goofy. I met this guy who needed marriage counseling. He called me. He said, Pastor Monty, my wife and I were fighting. We're fussing. We're carrying on. Can you help us? I said, oh, of course I can help you. I'll pass my magic wand over your head and everything will be fine. I said, no, come on. Come on to the office. We sat down and I said, what's the problem? And she said this. She said, he never tells me he loves me. And his answer back to that was these words. He said, I told her that at the wedding altar. If I ever change my mind, I will let her know. Does everybody see why that relationship was in trouble? Well, Pastor Monty, he told her once, isn't that good enough? No, it's not good enough. In our lives, sometimes we need reassurance. There was a young man at our church years ago, and I performed the wedding for him and his wife. And the very first year they were married, and of course, things were that way, that first year excitement about marriage and excitement about life. And so the time was coming around towards February, and I gave him a piece of advice. I said, be sure that you celebrate Valentine's Day in a big way. Because it's your first Valentine's Day. By the way, you should celebrate every Valentine's Day, gentlemen, somehow, okay, somehow. You, Pastor Monty, what should I get her? Get her an Instant Pot, okay, one of those things that cooks food. And actually, no, I was told by an old man one time, I think he's a lot smarter than I, he said, never buy your wife anything that has an electric cord attached to it, okay? And so, I don't know. But anyway, so I told this young man, I said, it's real important that you celebrate Valentine's Day. And I knew he was working that day. I knew he was very busy that day and had a long day. And so a few days prior, I said, hey, did you plan something for your wife for Valentine's Day? Oh, no, preacher, I didn't do it yet, but I'll get around to it. I'll get around to it. The day of Valentine's Day, he was working that day, and he said, I called him on the phone at his work. I said, hey, did you plan something for Valentine's Day? He said, well, no, not yet, but I'll get her something. I'll get her something. Now, it's pushing it a little far to be at work on Valentine's Day and not to have anything left. But, gentlemen, let me tell you something. God gave us Walgreens. Walgreens is a remarkable place. Many of them are open 24 hours a day. You can buy Christmas gifts there on Christmas Day. Wait till the next day and they're 50% off. Walgreens is a wonderful place. And I was nervous for him. Later in the day, I called him. I said, did you do anything? He said, man, I said, I'll try to pick something up on the way home. Guess what happened? He didn't. Not a card, not a flower, not a piece of candy, nothing. And he went home. When we went home to the little apartment where they lived, he opened the door. He told me this later. He said, preacher, the moment I opened the door, I knew I was in trouble. The lights were not on in the apartment, but there was a candle glowing on a beautiful table that his wife had set. She had a fancy Valentine's Day tablecloth. I imagine it was red. She had place settings just beautifully set out. When he opened that door, he was met with the aroma of a delicious meal, his favorite food in the world, she had fixed for him. And there was, at his place setting, a present. Now, can I say something? This is the recipe for a disaster. He should have felt like trash. And he did. But he just marched right in. Now, I'll be honest with you. Had it been me, I would have closed the door and gone to Walgreens. That would have been my answer. But he marched right in and pretended like nothing was amiss. He had nothing. Not a card. No acknowledgement, nothing at all. And she served him dinner, expectantly waiting. He said she was expecting something. Good things come in small packages. Maybe he would pull something out of his pocket. And it never happened. And finally, the pressure mounted. And she finally looked at him and she said, because she had done all of these things. She looked at him and she said, well, didn't you get me anything for Valentine's Day? He said, preacher, my mind was racing. I said, the only thing that I could think of to say. And he said, I looked at her and I said, St. Valentine's Day is a Catholic holiday. We're not Catholic. What? What a horrible answer. How many know he needed to be slapped? Absolutely needed to be slapped right at that moment. Do you know what she needed? She didn't need a gift. She didn't necessarily need a card, though. Card's a nice thing. What she wanted is reassurance. Every one of us in our lives want to hear reassurance. In Psalm 86, many of the Psalms are written by David, King David. And many of the Psalms have a background to them. We understand the historical background. Psalm 86 doesn't really give us a historical background, but over and over again in the Psalm, David talks about the fact that he was fearful. He talks about the fact that he was troubled. He talks about the fact that he had a problem. There was a problem. He said, for example, in verse number 3, be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. There was some kind of problem. There was some kind of trouble. Verse number 7, in the day that I am troubled, I will call upon thee, for thou shalt answer me. He's describing a time of trouble. This is a time of difficulty in his life. We don't know exactly what that was. Verse number 13, great is thy mercy toward me. Thou hast delivered me from the lowest hell. What does that mean? It doesn't mean he went physically to hell. It means that in his life he had gone to the place of hell. In his life he had gone mentally, emotionally, spiritually, whatever it was, for the pressure David was under, whatever the problem was. It was so deep that it had brought him down to the lowest hell in his mental thinking. That's how bad it was. He was troubled. What did David need? It's interesting, and we won't study through it for the sake of time. Psalm 86 is one of the most theologically developed psalms in all of the Bible. It talks about theological themes such as God's truth and his mercy. It talks about God's forgiveness. It has all kinds of theological themes throughout the entire psalm. And David knew these things. He's penning the words to the psalm. Listen carefully. He's penning the words to the psalm. And that psalm reveals a great knowledge on David's part of who God is. He knew it up here. But he needed reassurance. Whatever was the darkness of the hell that David talks about he was going through, whatever was the need or the crisis in his life at that moment, he needed God to somehow assure him that he loved him. Now, David knew that. We all know that intellectually, but sometimes it helps to have an assurance from God, a message, as it were, from the Lord. Look at verse number 17. Because of this need for reassurance, David prayed a prayer. In verse number 17, David said, show me, he's addressing the Lord. He said, show me a token for good. Show me a token for good. Well, what does that mean, Pastor Monty? A token, something that is an indicator that you love me. God, show me something that is an indicator that you're still there. If you were to give your wife a Valentine's Day card, it is a token of your love. It is not the love itself. It's simply a piece of paper produced by Hallmark that costs $13. It's that. It's just paper. It's not the love itself, but it is a token. It is, if you will, it is an indicator. It is a reassurance. When you do something kind for a loved one, it's a reassurance of the heart that you have toward them. And every one of us in life needs reassurance. In verse number 17, David prayed a prayer. He says to God, show me a token for good. God, show me something. Do you know why he had to pray this prayer? Oh, Pastor Monty, King David, the great writer of the Psalms, King David, the one who was anointed to be king over Israel, the one whose descendants would forever reign on the throne in Israel. Why would he need that? Because as great a man as David was, God's purpose was not always obvious in his life. Look at me, everybody. God's purpose is not always obvious in our lives. We don't always know what God is doing. We go through a set of circumstances and we try to read those circumstances and wonder, and sometimes we just can't figure it out. Now the Bible says this, God is always at work. I take great comfort in that. He's always at work. God is always doing something, but we don't always understand. The great heroes of the Bible, Joseph as an example, we talked about him recently. Joseph, who was cast into prison. Joseph, who was a servant under Pharaoh. Joseph, who had begun as a slave and later became a leader. In the earliest days of the story of Joseph, he had no idea what God was going to lead him to do. Paul, the Apostle Paul. You'll remember that Paul had a problem. We don't know what it was. The Bible doesn't record it. But Paul prayed three times, the great Apostle Paul. He prayed three times that God would take this problem away from him, and the Lord said, no, I have a purpose in leaving the problem with you because my strength is made perfect in your weakness. God has a purpose we don't always see. Faith, then, is believing when we don't know what God is doing. Faith is believing when we don't know what God is doing. I think a week ago or 2 weeks ago, I shared with you the story of how Kelly was carrying what would have been our third little baby boy. And roughly about 17 or 8 weeks into this, she lost the baby. I shared this with you a few weeks ago. Someone said, Pastor Monty, what were the lessons to be learned? What are the purposes in that heartbreak? I don't know fully. Maybe it's because we can relate to other ladies and other families, other couples that go through that kind of sorrow. Maybe that's part of it. I don't know really what the purpose of God is, but God always has a purpose. His purpose is not always obvious to us. Sometimes the circumstances that we view as bad lead us to wonder about God. Now, by the way, after all these years of Christian ministry and these years of being a Christian, I know something about God. We have a tendency to put things in categories. We'll say, for example, oh, I had a great day yesterday. Or we'll say, for example, oh, I had a horrible day yesterday. We might say, for example, that was a great sermon Pastor Monty preached. Can I get an amen? Thank you. The silence for a moment was deafening. You make me nervous. Or we could say, that was a horrible sermon he preached. Shut up. We tend to put things in categories, don't we? And yet God is bigger than our categories. He has a purpose. The things that I view as bad have oftentimes turned out to be some of the best things that could have possibly happened to me. It never seems so at the time. But God has a purpose that is not always obvious to us. Number two, I want to point this out. God invites us, according to this passage, verse number 17, God invites us to ask him to reveal his presence in our circumstance. Not necessarily his purpose, because I may not know. And God may not tell me his purpose. I may not know until I get to heaven. But God does invite me, he invites me to ask for his presence. To actually, and let me be very practical with you this morning, to actually pray the same prayer that David prayed and ask God for a token for good. God may not explain to me what his purpose is right away, but by the way, he's not obligated to. His ways are not our ways, the Bible says. God always has a purpose, but he may not explain it to us, but he invites us to ask him for a token, to pray as David prayed, Lord, in the middle of whatever the problem was David had, Lord, give me something that shows me you're there. Lord, indicate your presence to me. Lord, do something. Now, by the way, I'm talking. You said, wait a minute, Pastor Monty, are you talking about a real, genuine experience where God does something and you recognize it as him? Are you talking about that? Look at me. Yes. Let me say something, Christian. God should be real to you. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you if you're a Christian. God should be real to you enough that in life you don't just go through life like a ball in a pinball machine being hit back and forth by the flippers, but you understand that there's something divine in circumstances. You look at your life or you look at a set of circumstances, and though you don't understand God's purpose in it, you start to see God's hand in it. You look for his fingerprints. You look for his footprints in the snow, as it were. God invites us to ask him for a token for good. In other words, David, at the end of the psalm, he said, I'm in deep trouble. He didn't say what it was. I'm in deep trouble. God's merciful. I'm in deep trouble. God is forgiving. I've got a real big problem, and somehow I know all about the person of God. And God, you're all of these wonderful things, and I know those things in my brain. But he says, God, at the very end, he says, God, could you just show me a token for good? Could you just send me a love note? Could you just do something that indicates that, while I don't understand the purpose for this, could you just do some little thing that indicates that you're really in control? Could you do something for me that I could see that would help me to see your fingerprints behind the circumstance? Let me be very clear. God invites us to pray that prayer. He has a purpose for everything, but doesn't always show us what it is. He invites us to ask him to reveal his presence in all of our circumstances, to give us, as it were, a love note from heaven. And then, number three, God often reassures us through a personal token for good. And now let me be very personal. This is one of the messages that I preach out frequently when I preach in different parts of the country. And I have been blessed following the message, sometimes days or weeks or even months, to get a little note or a phone call from someone who says, "Preacher, I asked God to show me his presence in a set of circumstances, and God did precisely that." I'm going then to give you some personal illustrations to help you understand what I'm talking about. The message is not theoretical, it's very practical. And if you want to see God at work in your life, it is okay to ask him to reveal himself by way of a token for good. Now, some of you, with the story I'm about to tell, some of you are going to think that it is trite and frivolous. But remember, all I ask God to do is give me a token. Years ago, I was going through a difficult situation. It happened to be a church situation. Ooh, nothing worse than a church situation. Someone had become spiny. Boy, I got all of your attention. You're dying to know who, what, when, where, and why. I can't tell you that. There are certain things that will go with me to the grave, and every one of you ought to be thankful. But a spiny church situation had arisen, and it really troubled me. I remember I lost sleep over it. I remember I was agonizing over it. I had severe anxiety over it. Something was going on, and I just had severe anxiety over the whole thing. And that morning, I would get up, and at that time, played basketball. That was during my very brief but successful. No, it wasn't. Brief but successful basketball career. I was playing at a local gym. And I told the Lord on the way over, I know you're going to think this is shallow, but you go ahead and think it's shallow all you want. I told the Lord on the way over, I said, "Lord, could you do something today for me special that just indicates that you still love me? That just indicates that it's all going to be okay, whatever the problem was? Lord, could you just do some little thing?" I got out onto the ball court and I was playing with my usual lack of grace. I've actually sent people to medical attention who have played with me in the past, flinging elbows and tripping people. And Kevin, you're nodding because you were there. And it wasn't you that I hurt, was it?
Several times.
Folks, but look, he's still in church because he has a forgiving heart and a forgiving spirit. So I was playing. I'm not a good ball player, okay? This is what people call wasted height. I'm not a good ball player. I had that basketball. I took a shot. 3-point shot, dropped it in that basket without even touching the rim. "Pastor Monty, was that your token for good?" "No, that was just me being me." Got that ball again, dropped another one. I mean, nothing but net. Got that ball again, dropped another one. Ladies and gentlemen, believe it or not, and there are people who are eyewitnesses who have signed an affidavit to this effect, I put in 7 3-point shots in a row. By the way, 7's the number of completion. I've never done it since. Preacher, this is silly. That never happens to me. I'm no good at this. 7 in a row, and the minute that 7th one dropped, God said to me, it was as if he said this. He doesn't talk audibly to me. Don't get the wrong idea, you crazy people out there. God spoke to my heart and said, "I love you. It's going to be okay." "Oh, Pastor Monty, come on. It was just you were feeling it that day." "I've never felt it in my life." Let me tell you something, it had to be him. Do you know that little token? All it was a little token. Do you know that that little token gave me reassurance that God was in control? Oh, you say, Pastor Monty, this is so shallow. Okay, if it's so shallow, then why did David pray, Lord, show me a token for good? Lord, I know all the facts about you. Lord, I've written the Psalms. Lord, I know who you are as a person. Lord, I even understand the theology. But he said, beyond the theology, beyond the facts, beyond the head knowledge, he said, Lord, show me a token for good. Can I tell you something, folks? You can ask God to show you something that indicates his presence, and that's okay. It's okay. A token for good could be a number of things. I want to kind of review a little bit of what that might be. It's something that's personal. Something personal. He said, Lord, show me a token for good. My token for good may not mean anything to you. But I said, Lord, show me a token for good. It's something that is personal. It may not mean anything to another person. They may not see what I would call the miracle in it, but you'll recognize it. It's not necessarily, by the way, related to the circumstances. The fact that I dropped 7 3-point shots didn't change the attitude of the member that was giving me trouble. You say, Pastor Monty, what did? Well, no, not that. It wasn't that at all. But it didn't change that, but it was not related. It was just God saying, I love you, I care about you. It's not a promise that everything, all my wishes are going to be granted and God's going to answer my prayers. It's simply a reassurance that God is present in my life. Now, folks, listen to me. God should be real. I'm not a charismatic. I don't speak in tongues. But you should be able to look at events that happen during your day and say, wow, I see the hand of God. And especially if you've prayed, Lord, show me a token for good. You see, a lot of it is just us looking in the right direction. Let God choose the token, but you be looking for it with an expectant heart. Now, you know, Pastor Monty, I just think this sermon is shallow. Okay, then you'll never see God at work in your life. But if you have the eyes to see God doing something, he will do things beyond your wildest imagination. A few years ago, Kelly and I were flying to Texas, to Houston, Texas. It was a time of my life, and I've shared this with the congregation. It was a very dark time in my life. My twin brother was going through a lot of emotional problems, a lot of very serious problems, and we didn't even know how serious. All I knew was that something was very amiss in my home state of Minnesota. Something was very, very wrong. I didn't know what. It was something that really bothered me on the inside. It was keeping me awake. It was something that had really caused a lot of tears in my life. I will tell you, it was the heaviest time of my personal existence. And this was prior to his taking his own life. The circumstances led ultimately to his taking his own life. We knew something was very, very bad. We were hearing things. I was getting phone calls. I was trying to make calls that he wasn't answering. And all these kind of things were going on during this period of time. And I was really down, and we were going to San Antonio, ultimately, to watch our son graduate from Air Force boot camp. And we were going to San Antonio, and I was really down in the plane, gloomy, gloomy. I was just gloomy and down, and Kelly was gloomy and down, and we were just discouraged, just down. And at some point during the flight, Kelly prayed a prayer, just to herself, to God. She prayed a prayer, and as the flight was landing, she leaned over to me, and she said this. She said, I've asked God to give us something to smile about. That's a pretty small request, right? I've asked God to give us something to smile about. You said, Pastor Monty, you must have responded as a spiritual man. Not really. I just looked at her and said, ugh, whatever. Really? Yeah. Yeah, really. Whatever. I wrote it off. She said, I prayed and asked God to give us something to smile about. We got off the plane, we gathered our luggage together, we had to go rent a car, and so we got into a rental car bus full of people. It was the weekend of the Super Bowl. We got into a bunch of rental car bus full of people. There was a big black man who was driving the bus, a big happy guy, smile, shake your hand on the way in the bus. We got in the bus, put our luggage in. Bus was crowded with people. He got that bus on the road. He was only driving with one hand. With the other hand, he turned on the radio and it started playing some music. We didn't realize this, he had a microphone. This guy loved to sing. And he started playing a song. Now you old people, you're gonna, no, that was the wrong word. You more experienced people in the audience, you're going to know what I'm talking about. How many know the song? Just be honest. How many know the song, Twisting the Night Away? Look at the hands in this. You're so worldly, all of you. No, just kidding. And this big guy got a big smile, and he had this beautiful, beautiful baritone voice, this really deep, rich voice. And he smiled real big, and he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Houston." Turned up the music, and he started singing, "Twistin', I'm not as good as he is, twistin', twistin' the night away." Now, he's driving the bus, but he's twisting while he's driving the bus. And everyone gets into the song and starts to laugh. And all of a sudden, I'm laughing and I'm smiling. He sang the whole song, Twisting the Night Away. And it was beautiful. And all of a sudden, I'm smiling and didn't even realize it. And Kelly looked at me and she said, "See what God just did." You say, "Pastor Monty, that's so shallow." Can I tell you something? It was what God did to answer her prayer, to show that he was still in charge of a set of circumstances that was beyond our control. David prayed, "Lord, show me a token for good." As we were in San Antonio during that time, more news was coming to us, and frankly, it put me very much on edge, and very depressing and dark news was coming to us from my home state of Minnesota. And we got back on the plane, and my plan was to fly to Chicago, and from Chicago take a car and drive up to Minnesota, and I needed to deal with what would become a very deep tragedy. And so we were very dark mood as we got back onto the bus. We got back on the bus, we'd taken a rental car, dropped off, got back on the bus. There was a different black guy driving the bus this time, and it was just me and my wife and a couple other people from our church, and we were sitting there on the bus just by ourselves, and the guy gets the bus on the road, and he turns around and he says, "Hey, can I talk to you without offending you?" This is the bus driver, folks. He says, "Can I talk to you without offending you?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, "You couldn't offend me if you tried. Go ahead." And he said, "I want you folks to know something." He knew nothing about us. He said, "No matter what problem you're going through," he said, "God is bigger than any problem you have." And that bus driver preached a message from the rental car place back to the airport, telling us about the goodness of God and what God had done in his life and where God had brought him from. Gave a personal testimony about the goodness of God. And as that man spoke, tears flooded my eyes because I saw in that man not just a human being, but a message that God was sending to me. I saw in that man a token for good. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. There is a God in heaven who will reveal himself to us if we ask him to, if we pray for a token of good. Many years ago, I preached this sermon in this church in its initial form. I preached this sermon in this church, and I encouraged people to pray and ask God to show himself with a token of good. We had a lady in the church whose grandfather had died, and she was very, very close to her grandfather. She called me later after this happened. She said the morning of the funeral, which was, I think, Monday morning, so I preached on Sunday, it was a Monday morning. She said the morning of the funeral, she said, "I was so broken up, I didn't know if I could go to the funeral." She said, "I prayed and I said, God, just show me a token for good. Show me you love me. Show me that in the midst of my sorrow, you're still there." She said she drove to the funeral home, and she said as she was getting out of the car, she looked down, and there was a piece of trash on the ground. She looked more closely, it was a matchbook. And so she picked it up. And when she turned it over, on the other side of the matchbook was apparently the name of a restaurant. The word Rosebud was on that matchbook. So, preacher, who cares? That was her grandfather's nickname for her. You can't make stuff like this up. "Well, Pastor Monty, come on, what a neat coincidence." Okay, skeptic, you go through your whole life believing things like, that just sort of happened. I don't think things are random. I think there's a God in heaven who answered her prayer by sending to her that little matchbook on the ground right near her car with the very name that her grandfather had called her as she was entering into a funeral home for his funeral service. Here's what I'm suggesting to you. That God will reveal himself, maybe not his purpose, maybe not the reason why, but that God will reveal himself if we ask him to and if we keep our eyes open. I remember one day, this is years ago, I don't really remember what the issue was, but years ago I was having a very difficult day at the church. Seems like I'm always having difficult days at the church. Maybe it was the staff, I don't know. Having a difficult day at the church, I was walking to the mailbox. You know, I'd answered texts and phone calls and emails, and it was all negative, and so I was walking to the mailbox, thought maybe there's something there. And as I walked to the mailbox, I said, Lord, could you just show me you still love me? If everybody else hates me, someone was criticizing the sermon, someone was barking at me, Pastor Monty, you didn't do this, you didn't meet my expectation, blah, 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 blah. People were barking at me all day. I said, could you just send something, Lord, my way? I walked to the mailbox, and I opened a card. I opened a card. It says this. I'm reading the card. The lady who wrote this card is still a member of this church. She may remember the words, maybe not. She said, Pastor Monty, the Holy Spirit prompted me to send you this card. I enjoyed your message so much Sunday about the blind man. I came away filled. Thank you. The town of Avon and Faith Baptist Church is blessed to have you in our corner. You remind me a lot of my dad. He's been gone since 1967. That's the year I was born. You're bold, outspoken. Don't be mad that I'm outspoken. This lady likes it. And I like her. You're bold, outspoken, very intelligent. Incredibly handsome. No, it doesn't say that. Very intelligent and very decisive. You're not afraid to speak the truth, God's word. And she signed her name. Now, you say, Pastor Monty, that just sort of happened. No, it didn't just sort of happen. Can I tell you something about God? God is eager to reveal himself to you. You just need to be looking. I preached this message one time at Pensacola Christian College. There were probably 6,000 people. It was immediately after Hurricane Ivan had devastated the Gulf Coast, and I was there as the preacher. Pensacola was without electric lights, but Pensacola Christian College generates its own power, so they had electric lights throughout the campus and air conditioning. They were running just as normal. And I was there preaching, and I preached this message and encouraged people to... The people were down. They'd been without power, I think, by that time for over a week. And people were down. It was hot, and it was florid, and it was dark, and it was miserable, and it was sweaty, and it was buggy, and it was just miserable. And I preached this message. And one of the college professors, a Bible professor who shall remain nameless, a Bible professor and his wife were driving home in the dark. The streets were darkened. They were miserable. They were depressed. Driving home, and they got to the Bible college professor was critiquing my sermon. Ooh, he was very critical. Pastor Monty, that was pretty experiential that he talked about. That I don't know about all that kind of thing. Blah, 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 blah. And his wife is just patiently listening. They pull up into their driveway, and she says, honey, she says, I know you didn't like his sermon, but could we give it a try? Could we just try? And he said, I didn't like that sermon, but she said, can we pray at least? Can we just ask God? Can we see what happens? He said, okay. They bowed in prayer, and she prayed, Lord, show us a token for good. They walked into the house, the dark house. Out of habit, he reached over and flicked the light switch, and all the lights came on. In the moment of their praying, Pensacola received its power back again. And she looked at him, and she said, there is a God. Let me tell you something. He came and told me this story, because he wanted me to share it with people. He said, I'll never doubt that again. The Bible says, King David said, Lord, show me a token for good. I know about God. I've studied theology. I know about God. I've studied the Bible. But every once in a while, it's not enough to have it up here. Every once in a while, I need to see the fingerprints of God upon my life. Every once in a while, I need to sense his presence. Every once in a while, I need to get the idea, hey, no matter what the problem is, God is still here. And so do you. We all need assurance in our lives. Pastor Monty, I'm going through a hard time. I need to see God's working in this, okay? Do what David did. Lord, show me a token for good. And then when you pray that prayer, open your eyes and be alert, because God will answer that prayer. He may not explain why you're going through what you're going through. He may not give you every reason. He may not give you a pathway out. He may not give you an immediate solution. But what he will do is he will find some way to send you the message, I love you. I'm still in control. I am God, and you can trust me. Lord, show me a token for good. Let's bow our heads, please, every head bowed. Lord, thank you for the prayer of David. The fact that he prayed for a token for good gives us permission to ask you of the same thing. Father, I have no idea the hearts that are broken in this room, maybe over a matter that they alone know about, maybe a set of circumstances that has come into their lives that even causes them to wonder if God really loves them. Lord, I pray that you'll give us hearts that are eager to look for you in our daily lives, to sense your presence and your fingerprints, to see how you put things together far better than we ever could. Father, for those who need that reassurance, that love letter from heaven, that little card that says it's going to be okay, Father, for those who need this, help us, Lord, to ask you for a simple token for good, something that will cause us to know that you are still on the throne, something, Lord, that will cause us to smile, something, Lord, that will bring us peace. Thank you, Lord, for your invitation to pray. And for those who need assurance right now, I ask that they will simply ask you and then have eyes to see what you will do. We pray it in Jesus' name. Everyone standing together, please, everyone.